Our scripture reading for this morning is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus, the fourth chapter. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Law enforcement officers will tell you that the most dangerous hours for domestic violence are between 10 o'clock and midnight in the evening. And the reason is this is the time of day when people are the most spent, if you will, physically, emotionally, psychologically. And sometimes it's at that point in the day when they're trying to resolve the most difficult problems in their relationships, or with their children, or with each other. And I suppose once in a while, a few Leinenkugels are involved too. The FBI estimates that a woman is battered in the United States every 12 seconds. That means just during chapel today, 75 women around our country will be battered. How sickening. It's also estimated that roughly 50% of all murders are committed by somebody that the person thought they were in love with. Now, in the text before us, God is not simply giving us good marital advice or pointers for friendly relationships. But this is a very important matter for those of us who live under the cross as his children and who are members of his church. And it's also intended by God to bring blessing to us and benefits into our lives. The Large Catechism says this: nature implants the spirit of revenge in each of us. God's purpose is to remove this root and fountain of bitterness. Now, when it comes to anger, if you're like me, we are challenged from both outside and inside, from without and within. The world expects us to get mad. The world expects us to be spiteful. The world expects us to want revenge. And oftentimes we'll try to incite that and stir it up in us. And sometimes friends will even give us advice. Well, you should, that's how you should handle it. And there's a certain sense of rightness that rises up inside of us when we hear that. Hollywood has made billions of dollars through the years on producing movies about revenge, justifiable revenge, even when people go off and do it as a vigilante, exploiting that urge in us, that rage that can build inside of us. But the Lord tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, anger rests in the bosom of fools. Paul is warning us in our text by the Holy Spirit that allowing anger to fester in our hearts can ultimately give place to the devil. God would have us realize that allowing hatred to stew and to brew inside of our hearts is the devil's way of stirring up trouble in marriages and in home life and between parents and children and even in the church. But more than that, here's the danger. Allowing anger to reign in our hearts can ultimately drive Christ away. You see, hatred is a selfish king, a selfish ruler. And when it takes its seat in the heart, it will attempt to dethrone our Lord Jesus from his position of authority in us. Now, God certainly understands wrath and anger. There are many instances in Scripture where his just wrath was poured out on people in various situations. I remember as a child seeing a painting for the first time of Jesus with a whip in his hand. Something about it just didn't look right as he was driving out the money changers from the temple. There is a place for just wrath, and God certainly understands that. And yet this God who in perfect justice could have condemned us, chose instead to take all of his just rage and wrath against you and me for all of our sins, including our anger, and to pour it out on his Son in one spot in time, in one little moment in history, when our Lord Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the ultimate expression of just wrath and anger there could ever be. But in that moment and in that instance, God set his anger aside toward you and toward me and has chosen instead to look on us with eyes of love and forgiveness and mercy. Just like taking a dump truck full of ice and dumping it on top of a campfire, our Lord's death has now cooled God's anger toward you and me. He is now toward us slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that God that has treated us so graciously and has set his anger aside toward you and me that he could have justly poured on us, that same loving God toward you now calls on you and me as his believers to be a reflection of that same cooling work of Christ toward us. Now, God acknowledges that there are going to be times when we're going to get angry. We live in a fallen world. We live in places where we have to deal with sinful people just like us. But we are not to let that anger grow in us and fester and take over our hearts and minds. One of my seminary professors used to like to quote a famous saying of Luther's. You've probably heard it before, but it's so appropriate. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And how true that is with any type of temptation, isn't that the case? The initial stage of a temptation may, on the front end, be a little bit harmless, but the longer we let it fester, the more it grows and can lead to our downfall. In the text before us, St. Paul is quoting from David in Psalm 4, and this is the way David puts it. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. It's a great line. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. A turn-of-the-century professor named George Steckhardt says this. In the quiet of the night, or when the sinking sun spreads quiet peace over all nature and reminds us that God allows his sun to rise and set on the just and the unjust, then the aroused Christians are to examine themselves and to quiet their perturbed hearts. Every night as you go to bed and as your head hits the pillow, filter your day and filter your thoughts through Christ, through the cross, and prayerfully contemplate just how kind-hearted God has been toward you. This is the ultimate filter. With that in mind, please take out your hymn book and turn to page 167. Page 167. And on the second column, the first full paragraph, you'll find a beautiful evening prayer, which I would encourage you to use at times. Let us rise and join in praying this together, even though it is an evening prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, the patient Lamb of God, the holy sacrificial offering for all my sins and for the sins of the whole world, I heartily thank you that you have graciously kept both my body and soul under your protecting care this day. I pray that you would graciously pardon and forgive all the sins which I have committed this day, both through the weakness of my old evil nature and the temptations of the evil spirit, all of which sorely oppress my heart and conscience. Cover me this night with the wings of your grace and grant that my body may sleep in safety while my soul watches for your glorious coming to judgment, ready to enter your blessed kingdom of glory. Grant this, O Lord, for the sake of your suffering and death. Amen.